Let us bow our heads in prayer as we come to God's word. Lord, thank you for your living word. And we pray now that you would open our hearts that we might receive all that you have for us. You would open our ears that we might hear your voice speaking to us. You would open our spiritual eyes that we might be able to see more clearly how you're calling us to serve you. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. If you'd like to be seated. A very good morning to everybody. This weekend is a special anniversary for me and my wife. My wife's not here at this service. She was at the earlier service. But it's a very special weekend for us because it is the 10th anniversary of when we came to missions as missionaries into Southeast Asia. So 10 years ago this weekend, we began our ministry as part of the Diocese of Singapore in Thailand, as I was vicar of Christ Church, Bangkok. So it's very timely that I begin our diocesan missions month. So this is the month that we think of missions, and so I start that off here for us today at the cathedral, in fact yesterday as well. So my main title today is Participating in the Mission of God, and I've got a subtitle which I want to call Open Doors to Mission. So first of all, I want us to do some missiology, to have a think about what mission is all about. Now, once upon a time, the word mission was used by Christians or for Christians and the outreach that they did in the world. Today, though, mission has become quite a regular word in the English language. It's become part of our general vocabulary. So we have, and who can forget it, the great mission to the moon. Most of us would have seen that, not all of us, but I remember seeing that great mission to the moon. In fact, we talk nowadays of military missions. So an army or a navy or an air force operation is called a mission. We have diplomatic missions. So we have embassies and consulates that have their mission outposts in other nations. So there on the left is the embassy in Singapore, and that's the High Commission in London on the right. I'm told that because of part of the Commonwealth, there's a High Commission, not an embassy. And our embassies and our consulates have their mission outposts in other nations. Interesting, isn't it? Mission outposts. And of course, we have our mission statements. Every corporate operation has a mission statement. We have our mission statement, and I'm sure you're able to recite this now. This is what we're working with at the moment, and you remember it well, I'm sure. Roots down, walls down. The vicar's wife knows it. The rest of you don't seem to. Bridges out. And that's what we're thinking about today and through the rest of the month. And it seems that everybody does missions nowadays. Mission has become like a task that we do, something that we have to achieve in the name of somebody or for a particular organization. But actually, mission, of course, is in the heart of the Christian faith. And the original word, English word for mission, gets itself, of course, from the Christian faith. So if you look up the Oxford Dictionary, you'll be able to read this, that in the mid-16th century, in fact, 1530 is the first time the word was used in English language, and its origin is found in the sending of the Holy Spirit into the world. So it comes from the Latin word missio and from the word mitar, which is to send. And this is actually building on the teaching of the early church fathers, the early Christians, right from the very beginning, because they often spoke of the Missio Dei, the God of mission, the missionary God. And this is very much what we see in John's gospel. And it's why I chose John chapter 3, verse 16, a very well-known passage to us, I'm sure. But this is at the heart of the missionary God. For God, that's meaning God the Father, so loved the world that he gave his only Son. He sent his only Son. And then we go to read on later on in John's Gospel, particularly John 14 to 16, how the Son sends the Holy Spirit from the Father to the disciples. So in the nature of this Trinitarian God, he is a sending God. He is a missionary God. And he's not just a God who sends, but he's also a God who comes and who came in person to his world, to the world that he loves so much. So the Father came into the world in his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ. The Son came into the world, seeking and saving the lost, healing and reconciling the world to himself. That is what God's mission is all about. The Holy Spirit came into the world, transforming, recreating, inspiring, calling, sending disciples back out into the world that God loves so much. And this missionary God is still coming into the world. He comes into the world still by his Spirit and through his people, saving and healing and reconciling and transforming and inspiring. This is the ministry and the mission of the church, but it's all part of God's own ongoing mission. It is his work. It's what he is about. And our mission is only ever to participate in God's mission. It is his mission, not our mission. So that's the main point I'm trying to make in this section. And all Christians have a part to play in this mission of God. We're all sent into the world that God loves. And the question becomes, how and where is God calling us, calling you, to participate in what he is doing? So let's turn to Acts chapter 16. I've chosen that as an example of this at work. It's actually quite an important text to me, as I'll tell you a bit of my story a little bit later. So Acts 16, this is introducing what we call St. Paul's second missionary journey. There's a map that will come up on the screen. This is actually Paul's first missionary journey. He went from Antioch, and he went down to Cyprus, and then he went back up into what is now modern Turkey, into the area of southern Galatia, the province, Roman province of southern Galatia at that time. And there he was doing mission and planting churches. And while he was there, if you read the chapters 13 and 14 and 15 of Acts, you find that God is at work within Paul and his companions in wonderful ways. And amazing things happen. Awesome things happen through them. And so you can imagine that they come back from this missionary trip and they're all fired up and they're really ready to go out on mission again. They have seen such wonderful things happen. So you can imagine their enthusiasm. They're now wanting to plan their next mission trip. So they plot out their route. Probably they go to Google Maps just to have a search to see where they can travel next. Perhaps they look at the SIA website and see if there's any good deals on the next camel train that's going to go through the desert. So they get down to planning. Can you imagine? Hey, where are we going to visit next? Where is God going to send us next? And they put their plan together. And so the next map shows us the second missionary journey. And first of all, the big arrow shows us where they first go. They go up into southern Galatia again, and they visit the churches that are just planted. They are encouraging the new churches and the new disciples. And then their plan was to follow that sort of blue line roughly and go down into the area of Asia, not the continent of Asia, they're already there, but into the Roman province of Asia at that time. And so that's where they had planned to go. But if we look at the next screen, verse 6 tells us the Holy Spirit forbid them from going. Quite strong language. The Holy Spirit closed the door on their plan. Now, they were not ready just to turn around and go back home again. So they thought, okay, let's go on plan B. So they decided to go north. You can see that with the red arrow there. This is all in our text this morning, or in the beginning of chapter 16. So they decided to go up to Bithynia. Beautiful area. I would love to go and visit there. In fact, I have. It's really, really nice there. So they thought, maybe this is God's mission for us. And then we read in verse 7, the Spirit did not allow them. So that door was closed to them. So they're left only one option. The next one will show us. They had to go west, or they had to go home, but they decided to go west. They pressed on. Where was God calling them to? And so they went to the port of Trau. And then the next one, next slide, is where we read about Paul's vision of the man of Macedonia. Please come over and help us. And then in verse 10, we read how they discerned straight away that this was God's calling for them, and off they went. And suddenly, a door was opened into Europe. A new continent was about to be won for Christ. You see, it is God's mission. It's the Holy Spirit who closes doors and opens doors to mission. It is His mission. Paul and his companions never planned to go to Europe at all. But it was clearly in the mind of the Spirit of God. And we have the benefit of hindsight now. And we can see the absolute wisdom in this, because they went across the sea to an area that was at the center of the trade routes going out to Roman Empire at that time. So Philippi, Corinth, and all of that area, and the roads became lanes of the gospel to go out into the known world. And of course, we know that the first Christian continent was Europe. And from Europe, the gospel has gone out to all of the other continents, even to the ends of the earth. Now, not every missionary endeavor has the same global impact as Paul's second missionary journey and the vision of the man from Macedonia. For the Apostle Paul, this meant the transformation of a continent. But for us, as we follow God's call into the open doors that He brings for us, it can mean the transformation perhaps of just one life. But whether it's a continent or a single human life, both are equally important to the God of mission who loves His world. And that's what we're called into. So the issue of mission is not about how far away we might go or how big our mission field might be, but it's simply about discerning the steps that God is taking us in our Christian living and stepping into the doors that He opens for us. For some of us, it will be mission overseas, but don't please just think of mission overseas. But I'm just going to tell you a little bit of my story about coming out to Southeast Asia as an illustration. And these words, the Macedonian call, was really important to us in our call to Southeast Asia. Now, it all began, there's a picture will come up on the screen, and I'm sure that we all remember the tsunami in late 2004. Been other terrible things happened since, but this one I watched on TV back in the UK, and like many around the world, I would have been thinking, what can I do to help? In fact, I'm an engineer before I was ordained, and that was literally what I was thinking. Hey, can I go and do something to help out somehow? And as I'm thinking of that, my friend who was the youth pastor at the previous church I was at phoned me up and said, Pete, hey, Let's go out and help somehow. We'd just been into Thailand, actually, at a mission conference. Pete, how can we go and help? So we began to contact different NGOs and aid agencies. Can we come and help you? And of course, nobody was really replying to us because no matter how enthusiastic you might be, what they don't want is helpful people getting in the way. They need people trained. But we kept persevering, and I kept persevering, and I found that there was this church called Christ Church Bangkok. And at Christ Church Bangkok, there was an organization called We Love Thailand, and it was the Christian aid agencies group. And they were meeting at Christ Church Bangkok, where they were having their meetings to plan how they might reach out and help in the area. So I thought, I'll contact the vicar at Christ Church Bangkok, see if I can go out and help. So I did that. Sent off an email, got no reply. I persevered a bit more, sent another email, got no reply. Sort of began to give up on the idea, and then suddenly I had an email come through. Peter, can you come out and help us? And what had happened was, this is now in February time, that it becoming so tired with the all the work that he was having to do, that he wanted to go on a holiday. But it's really hard to get clergy cover out in Bangkok. So he'd seen my email, and then he said, come out and help us. So instead of going out with my friend, Andy, I went out with my wife, Inika, and we went out for 3 weeks, and we looked after the church in Bangkok, Christ Church Bangkok. And we did the regular stuff of church, did the services, some pastoral ministry, the normal things of church. But while I was there, I did some other amazing things that I had no idea that God might open the door for and call us into. So one of the things I did was to preach and to preside at communion in what's called the Bangkok Hilton, the big prison in the middle of Bangkok. Another thing that happened while I was there, it was the 60th anniversary of FIPO, the Far Eastern Prisoners of War, when they were released from the Thai-Burma railway enslavement camps that they were as they were building the camps, the railway. And so there was a memorial service that I led on the 60th anniversary of their release. That was so very moving. Then there was the different projects that I visited of the We Love Thailand as they were dealing with caring after the tsunami. Met so many people doing so many amazing things. And then as our 3 weeks came to an end, a missionary friend of ours, in fact sent from my home parish in England out to Thailand, came and prayed for us. And what she prayed for us was this, that God would break our hearts for the people that he was calling us to serve. Our 3 weeks were very quickly up. We came back to the UK, but we left our hearts in Thailand. And then suddenly, having come back to England, probably just 3 weeks later, the church warden of Christ Church Bangkok phoned me up. Peter, will you please come out and help us? And what had happened was, sadly, the vicar couldn't continue with his ministry, and they were going to have to look for a new vicar. Now, there's a long story that follows from that of testing, because a call always is tested. In fact, it took 18 months from our first visit to Thailand to actually going out and starting in November 2006, 10 years ago. But we persevered through the testing. Often the parish kept going up and down. We weren't sure if we were going or not. So I, getting impatient, tried this and that. Was God calling us to Ireland? Looked at a job in Ireland. No, it wasn't. Job in Cyprus. And all we did was laid awake dreaming about Thailand rather than Cyprus. And I had to say to the bishop, really sorry, we don't believe it's in Cyprus. And then suddenly, again, cutting a story, long story very short, the door opened up and we came to Southeast Asia. That was our calling. That was our obedient steps to follow the Spirit. And yours, of course, will be very different. You will almost certainly not have a door open to go from the UK to Thailand. But actually, you never know. You might have a call and a door open to go from Singapore to the UK, because the UK needs missionaries. Don't ever discount where God might call you, what door he might open up to you. But as I said earlier, we're all called to participate in the mission of God. And so really the question I'm asking amongst all of this is, are you looking for the door of mission that God is opening for you? And for every believer, that will be different. For many, even here now and throughout this missions month, the seed of a call of God might be being planted in your hearts. You might even now be feeling excited about the very idea that God might call you somewhere. You might be thinking, oh no, Lord, not me. I need to warn you, oh Lord, not me is very often a call from God, you know. What I'm saying is be listening, be open to what God might be saying to you. And I've already said, not every call is to overseas mission. Every individual life matters to God, and that is our mission. So even with Paul, as we go on to look at the scriptures, once he's been led by the Spirit into a new continent and into a new mission field, which he didn't open up, the Holy Spirit opened up for him, the first thing he did was to encounter individuals. So when we go on and read the story, and I'm going through this very, very quickly, the first individual he met was somebody called Lydia. Lydia was a businesswoman. She was actually an influential woman. She was at the higher levels of Greek society. She's actually the first convert on European soil. The first European church was planted in her house. But she becomes a very influential person in the life of the church. She had influence. Some of you are sent into the mission of God through your workplace, which has influence, or even your place of social standing that has influence. And throughout the cathedral, we have people in places of influence. And this is the mission of God for you in those places. So where is he opening doors for you to serve and bring his presence and his life? The next individual that we meet is a troubled young slave girl. She's at the other end of society. This young girl is possessed by an evil spirit, and she's being used and abused by wicked men. And Paul intervenes in her life in a wonderful way, and she is delivered and she's released into a new way of life. Some of you are sent into the mission of God to the poor and the downtrodden, with the needy and the hurting. It could be that the Lord wants to open a door for you to minister to those that the world sees as the least, but who the Lord sees as priceless and as of infinite value. One of the things that I miss about ministry in Thailand is connecting with so many people that were working with the poor and encouraging them and being immersed into that sort of ministry and mission. And I'm sort of in comfortable Singapore. And God wants to call us out of the comfortable places sometimes. Are we open to him calling us to that? Dare we allow God to show us his heart for the poor and then follow him in faith? Have you ever prayed that God would show you his heart for the poor? And then the next individual, the last one that I'm looking at, is a Philippian jailer. It's a long story of this in the scripture, but he is, if you like a government worker. He's like the general workers, the middle class working, the regular place of mission. He calls out to Paul, "How can I be saved?" And Paul leads him to the Savior and into freedom in Christ. And most of us, as we're sent out in the regular, ordinary world, there are people whose hearts are calling out, "How can I be saved?" There are people for whom we want to talk with Christians about their problems and their cares and their concerns, and you can point them to the Savior. My wife has been with me in the last 10 years as a missionary, and she at Christ Church Bangkok was very, very caught up in the life of the church, fully supporting me in the life of the church. And she still supports me in the life of the church. But actually, the cathedral has got so many people, so many gifted people, so many organizations. God has opened up for her in a workplace some wonderful opportunities for mission. And she is at heart an evangelist. She is at heart somebody who comes along people in ordinary life. She's already been leading people to Christ. She's led her manager back to the Lord. She's praying for people of other faiths to just come and share with her needs. And she's loving her new ministry back in the world. Most of us are in that world. And God opens doors of mission to us. He gives us opportunities to share our faith. He draws us along people that we might be able to serve. He is always giving us the opportunity to participate in what he is doing in the world that he loves so much. So are our eyes open to see? And are our hearts open to respond to what he is doing? May each one of us be captured by his compassionate love and give ourselves in mission as he, the missionary God, gives himself in mission to the world. Let us pray together. For God so loved the world that he sent his one and only Son. For God so loved the world that he sends his Holy Spirit. For God so loves the world that he sends us, his church. Lord, help us as a church and help us as individual believers to step into the mission that you're calling us to be a part of. Open our eyes, Lord, and give us faith. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.